Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Michael's back. Michael's back. Oh, you know what time it is, right? It is now time for the Mom and Michael Hour, which is my favorite because I get to visit with my son. And I cannot tell you, as parents that are listening or siblings that are listening, this is so important to us. So, Michael, thank you for allowing me to have you on every Sunday night, because you don't have to do it, but we love it, don't we?
I love being on with you. Thank you for having me on the show for all these years.
All these years. It's really quite remarkable. So you had a chance to not only have some fun with friends you told us about last week, and you've been getting out and saying hello and shopping with one or two people, and you actually traveled to Palm Springs?
I did, and it's crazy because I just heard the weather before we started. 77 today in the Twin Cities, 80 tomorrow. I mean, it's actually warmer in Minnesota than it is in Los Angeles right now. But those temperatures are definitely cooler than it was in Palm Springs where I was this weekend, where it was, of course, 98 degrees. It was amazing. So we went to Palm Springs. We got away for a little bit just to get out of the craziness. And I, of course, wouldn't have done this unless I had both shots of the vaccine, which I do. Able to travel. Yeah, I mean, thank God. I'm so thankful to have that. So I'm able to actually go travel like this and feel a bit more relaxed about it. Of course, wearing a mask and, cleaning, washing our hands, following all the rules. We got out of town and it was blazing hot in Palm Springs and amazing, which I love it out there. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's weird. It's the desert and the color spectrum is very much, artificially green or brown. Right. But for some reason, even just the various hues of brown on the mountainside, it's just so gorgeous to be out there and so relaxing to kind of, get away from LA and work and the crazy hours and whatnot. But I'm telling you, the people out there, of which there are a lot of people from Minnesota who winter out there, who have houses out there. I've heard our Minnesota accent many times there. And those people were partying their butts off. When I tell you, I drove down the street, and it was about 10:20, and Joey and I went to go pick up some food from one of the restaurants, and they had all this outdoor seating, and they took over part of the sidewalk, and they had an old green VW pulled up, and there was a DJ in the VW with lights on the roof, and they were rocking like jams from the 70s to the early 2000s, and the crowd out there was probably between the age of like late 40s to early 70s.
Wow.
And when I tell you, they were partying. I mean, they were dancing. They got dressed. They went out. And I was like, yep, they all have the vaccine. Those are boomers. They are over this. They are out partying. And it was like a socially distanced, barely dance party on the sidewalk. Clearly, they had a few drinks. And I loved it. So Joey was the one inside getting the food, and I sat there across the street, neck craned all the way back, just watching their joy. It was such a celebration of freedom, of being able to dance, being able to get out, and people were just living their absolute best life. So it was a small moment that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing more and more as we, more people get the vaccine and we find a way, hopefully, to have more moments like that.
So, Michael, are you saying that they weren't singing like shots?
No, the most recent song, because that's the song from, what's his face? I can see his face. I can't think of it. That song is from like 2010. The most recent song I heard was, I think, an Usher song from 2005. But really, it was like, music from the 70s and 80s, which I'm cool with. Mom, it felt like the old corporate conventions that I used to go to with you, where it's people who, work really hard, and then they earn these trips, and they get out there, and they just have an absolute blast, even though they don't look like maybe that's their normal MO back at home. Right. But this crowd in Palm Springs, they were
I
out.
Need you to know these were my people, okay? I'm an old head. I didn't think I was. But, you know, just listening to you talking about this group of people, these are my people. I'm a baby boomer, right? And to know that they got out, were they social distancing? Did they have on masks, all of that?
There were no masks.
They were on this makeshift Come dance on. Floor.
No one was wearing a mask, and they were partying. But again, I think because of the age bracket and the timeline in California, they have long since had their vaccines, their shots. And so I don't know if that's the case, but I'm going to make that the assumption. And there was, you know, distance between the groups. They weren't crowded in. So I think they were trying to socially distance as much as one can while absolutely partying and getting down on this dance floor outside.
How many would you say were in the group?
I'd say on the makeshift dance floor on the sidewalk, there was probably maximum 15 people. It wasn't like it was a huge crowd.
Made it sound like 80 people.
No. It was adjacent to the restaurant, so there just wasn't enough sidewalk space to have, you know, a huge party. But clearly the restaurant had invested some money and hired a DJ with the light show and the big speakers. I mean, this was set up so that you could have a party space. There were lights outside. So 15, maybe 20 people were out there dancing on this small dance floor. But even seeing 15 people distance partying that hard, it was wonderful because obviously that expression of joy comes from just the restraint we all had to exhibit in 2020. And I don't know those people, and I didn't speak to them, but I kind of superimposed upon them this victory of being able to be out there and dance and get down and shake. And it just didn't matter if you were on beat or not, or if you thought you could dance or not. In that moment, everyone was dancing because we have to now. We have to dance if we can.
Right. Okay, so first of all, you need to go back to storytelling class, wherever that is, because, you know, you had me thinking there were 200 people out there. And 15 is nothing like 200, okay?
Well, but I didn't give you a number. So the picture you had in your head, I mean, if it was exciting and if you enjoyed the story, I think I did a very good job.
Wrong. It really didn't go over that well with me because 15 is a much, much, much smaller group.
Yeah,
much smaller
I
group than what it sounded like. Okay.
But it's a good story either way, whether it was 80 or 15. The point is the joy, not the amount of people.
Okay. So if I have four, if I
storytelling class, I can't believe that.
Seriously, Michael, if there were five or six people out front of your grandmother's house dancing to 1970s music, I would be one of them. But yeah. I would never imagine you saying, "Oh my God, there's a crowd of people partying outside of grandmother's house."
Because I would say that.
You would.
I feel like after a whole year where two is a crowd, six people is a crowd.
Oh, okay. All right.
Especially if they are dancing in any sort of proximity. That's an activity we just have not been able to do. I mean, obviously, there are people in some states who broke all the rules and had massive parties in close quarters. But most of us who have been following the rules, I haven't danced next to strangers within any proximity in over a year. And I'm a person who loves going out and dancing and having a great time.
Right. So did you dance with them?
No, I was waiting for the food. I was too hungry for all that, but I enjoy watching them. but even if there were six people in my apartment and we blasted some music and danced, that to me would be a roaring party because we haven't been able to do it in so long.
So were they doing line dances or what were they doing?
Attempts of all kinds of dances. None were successful, but they sure looked like they were having fun.
Wow, can they do the Cabbage Patch? You remember that dance?
I can imagine. And, you know, we stayed at a hotel, a new hotel, for the first time. And it just been purchased by a new company. They had new management. And they clearly hadn't been open for very long. The staff was new. Everything there was a complete utter mess. There was no room service. You had to go pick it up. The hot tub wouldn't heat up. Because I guess at first they were saying they're trying to fix it. And then they were saying they had it turned off because of COVID. So we ended up going to the pool, which was quasi kind of warm. But it's strange. Normally that would really bother me, all those things not working and the hotel not really having their plan together. But it was just so great to be out of town and to have, you know, we didn't fly. We drove to Palm Springs, as most people in L.A. do. And just to be in a hotel and to be out and about, we kind of went, oh, it's fine. It's fine. You know, like, it wasn't that bad. And then when we went to the semi-warm pool, we met some really cool people who all worked together at a company here in L.A. And they had just met this other couple there. And we're all in the pool, and we were like, oh, yeah, I had the vaccine. Oh, we have it, too. We all have the vaccine. And they had been drinking wine the whole time. And it was just, it was so beautiful and strange. Like, oh, look at these strangers who are kind, and we're having a conversation in the pool. And that is a very basic activity. It's not new or it's not novel. But in the beginning of 2021, it truly was just to be in a pool with someone I don't know. And be able to converse with them without completely freaking out. And, you know, and they were strangers flirting with me. And my ego loved that.
I bet it did. So, Michael, we have to take a break, honey. But when we come back, I want to ask you about, you know, Vegas. Will Vegas be the first place that will have a sense of normalcy in their operations, whether it's, you know, you booking a hotel, what is it like to check in? Will it go back to that normalcy? Because it feels to me like hotels would be able to do it well immediately. So we're going to take a break and come back. This is the Mom and Michael Hour right here on WCCO.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is now 10:22 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. Welcome back, son.
Thank you so much.
Hey, when I was out there living, we moved out there together in 2004. We left in January. I think it was January 4th or 5th that we left. I remember on our way to Vegas, going down to LA was beautiful. You know, we went through Flagstaff and other areas, and we saw some truck stops and things, but really it's quite beautiful. Once we got there and stayed for a while, I remember we went to Vegas. I think you were going to meet the famous magician. What was his name?
Well, no, it wasn't Siegfried and Roy, because that was on a previous trip.
No. It was...
David Copperfield. Yes.
David Copperfield, exactly. And we venture down there, and we're going through what is the name of... Is it Death Valley? Is there all the sand on the way to Vegas on Highway 15?
Yeah, kind of. That's a bit close to where I was in Palm Springs. But yeah, when we're on the I-15, I think you do go through a part.
We were on the I-15. And do you remember... that going through the highway goes straight through the desert. We could see on either side. Usually, if we were on our way to Vegas, it would just be sand, you know. Everything's brown, different hues of brown. However, one time we went and we were shocked. It was almost like all the traffic came to a halt because if you look to your left or you look to your right, there were beautiful flowers everywhere in the desert and lots of water. It looked as though there was a lake with water, with flowers on the left and the right. Do you remember that?
It was a mirage.
It was not. Michael,
yes,
come on. Okay.
I do, yes. I think we had a El Nino that year, and it had rained like crazy, so much so that the rain had gotten all the way out to the desert. So there was a huge bloom of various plants out there. And actually, we had some of that in Palm Springs. Where on the mountains, there were, you know, all these green bushes and trees. And there was even snow still at the top of the tallest mountains in Palm Springs. So, yes,
how
the desert,
that?
Of course, is extremely hot and extremely cold at night, depending on the time of year. And when it does rain, it is beautiful out there.
Yeah, in the news in Las Vegas when we arrived, it was saying that this was a 100-year event. It only happens every 100 years when the seeds that are buried deep into the sand, it rains enough for them to come out. And then it keeps raining and it fills up like it's a reservoir of water. It's really It was so remarkable. I'll never forget that. And so I got a little scared when you started going, oh, yeah, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did. So, you know, you're wrong for that, right? You are wrong for that.
No, it did, of course.
It was just beautiful.
In the desert, it was 100 degrees. There was water everywhere. What there? Okay, well, the mirage. No, yes, but I do indeed remember that, yes.
Okay, so have you chosen to venture out into more movie theaters?
You know, I haven't gotten back on my schedule because, as you know, in the before times, I saw a movie every single weekend, and it was I had quite the schedule to make sure I got a movie in before you and I spoke. I knew how long the previews were, how long the drive time was, exactly what theaters to go to, their general movie schedule. It was a science. I was always rushing to make sure I got those in, and I loved it. I love seeing a movie every weekend. So far, I've only seen the one movie that we talked about, I think, like a couple weeks ago. And I haven't really gotten on my schedule again where I know that once a week I'm going to go see a movie in some capacity. So I haven't gone back to, I've only gone to the one theater. I haven't gone to the other ones that I used to go to, but I'm looking forward to kind of building that in to figure out when and how I'm going to go see more movies and feel more safe doing so. I'm excited for it.
And what do you want to see that you haven't seen?
Everything.
Everything.
Think about it. I miss maybe a couple weeks a year, so I see like 50 movies a year. And I've seen that many movies a year just in theaters, not including any films I watch on TV, for 13 years. So, and I was a fan of movies long before that, of course, when I was younger. So it has been wild not seeing movies in theaters. Even the ones I've watched on TV have not been as many as I used to see before. So when I say everything, I truly mean even a film that someone says isn't that great, I want to go see it in theaters. I want to get back to having that well-rounded history where, you know, even a smaller film that opened at number 5 in the box office, I may have seen it in theaters just because of the volume that I see. And there simply aren't as many films to see in theaters.
Right,
so
right.
It shouldn't take me as long to catch up. You know, I feel like I have a few months to knock these out before we have, you know, a lot more content in theaters opening first, as opposed to in theaters and on the streaming service.
And speaking of content, when it comes to the streaming services, I've noticed that some of these really dark kind of networks, all their shows are just kind of icky and dark for me, right? And I don't get that. I don't get it. But so when people watch a network, they're expecting what they love to be on, right?
Generally,
even if it's brand new, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's whether it's a new network, an old one, people are expecting a certain type of branding, you know, a certain lane of content, whether it's original content or being licensed from somewhere else. But that whole model, as we mentioned in our earlier conversations, of, you know, going to a station to watch a particular type of shows is dwindling. People just aren't doing that as much. So if you want to see certain types of content, most people are just going to a search function on a streaming service, because all the streaming services have all the genres. If you only want to watch light, happy, fun things, rom-coms, comedies, if you only want to watch kids' content because you have a bunch of kids in your family, you can do that in almost, actually, I will say, pretty much every major streaming service out there. You can customize the content you're going to get. So that's what most people are doing these days, is just searching for exactly what they want.
Okay, so I want to watch Matlock. I want to watch Perry Mason. And I want to watch Columbo. And I can't get Columbo.
So I'd have to go look up and see who originally, who currently owns those libraries. My guess is it might be Warner Brothers. So my guess would be that those are all probably on HBO Max. And if not, they might be on Netflix. And if it's not there, it might be on some other service where you can pay a small fee to rent those entire seasons. And for sure, you know, if not for free on the streaming service, there is definitely an option where you can rent every season, every episode of those shows, whenever you want, or buy them and have them at your, you know, at your disposal to watch on your laptop.
All right, we have a lot more to talk about, so stay tuned. Stick with us. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. Weather is next. It is now 16. I'm sorry. 10:35 here at WCCO. Welcome back to the Mom and Michael Hour. Okay, Michael, so the 27th annual SAG Awards is happening. And it's happening tonight. I think it's over with now, isn't it?
Yeah, it started at, I think, 6 p.m. Western time. We're 2 hours behind the Midwest. And when I tell you, I completely forgot about this. I think you and I have even, you know, talked about this with each other. And I totally forgot it was happening tonight. And I read somewhere that it was a series of pre-recorded segments for those that won, you know, recorded in their homes. But I still want to watch it to compare it to what the other shows have done. So maybe there's a replay I can catch after you and I are done talking.
Well, that we're part of that industry, so we should watch it. That is for sure. But I tell you, it gets harder and harder for me to follow these award shows. There's so many of them. And with COVID raging, so many don't care. I mean, young people that are supposed to be in college that like to dress up, and I shouldn't say dress up, but they buy some of the finest clothes and jewelry, and they love walking around campus like that or going to movies and going on dates and that sort of thing. They love it. They've all moved back home, most of them, and they just stopped buying all of this stuff. I read this long article in the New York Times one day, and it said, look, the woman said, I am in my third year of college, and I live in my sweats. I no longer need all of my name brands. I no longer need all of those dressy clothes. Do you think we'll get back to the point where we're actually buying those clothes again? I know that there are some that are still buying them today, but I mean, getting back to the average Minnesotan wanting to splurge on one or two outfits.
I think we're already there.
Yeah?
Maybe college students, you know, aren't buying that stuff because they're at home doing work. But other working adults, those who are fortunate to still have jobs, who, you know, worked additional hours at home on a laptop, when they do get to go out, they're going to dress up. People want to, they want to step out. And when I went to the mall, what was that, last week and the weekend before, there were literally lines out the store, obviously because, you know, they don't want to pack their stores, but really because there was that much demand outside of Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, Prada, Gucci. People were packing out those stores to go buy all the stuff they wanted to buy. And that's been happening here in Los Angeles even earlier in the pandemic when, you know, it was one or two people that could be allowed in the store. If the store was even open, there were lines. And those who weren't buying in person, we've seen from the data that our consumption of products online is through the roof. Consumer confidence especially has been really high during this pandemic and during this time. So even if, yes, people are buying more at leisure and less, you know, formal clothing, people were still buying clothing to wear out in anticipation of going and doing things. And now that I've been out a couple weekends, I'm seeing people wearing all those labels. They're out there just Louis Vuitton head to toe, Balenciaga head to toe, Prada this, Gucci that, Burberry this. I mean, they are flaunting and flashing. They want all the colors, the brightest trends. Even I bought new polos in bright colors because I was so tired of my whole closet full of conservative colors, you know, because I tend to buy things that will last, you know, over the years. I don't buy trendy things usually. I want things I can wear to work, even if it's weekend wear. And I was like, no, skip that. I have a salmon colored, it's like a salmon, actually, it's sherbet. It's a sherbet orange polo shirt. I have a neon pink polo shirt. I bought some new khakis. I'm still looking. I have a polo that's like rainbow camouflage, and I match now. Everyone else is wearing these same crazy colors because we've been in the house for a year. You know,
wow.
So it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Well, I'm just not buying much at all, and I have a small section of the closet that's dedicated to my colors, and I think it's five pieces. You have anything to say about that? No? Okay, great. Let's continue.
Well, we know I want you to wear more colors, but I apparently inherited the same problem, so I'm trying to fix it. I'm sure you can too. But I feel like it's been cold in the Twin Cities, and now that it's getting warm, you haven't felt any shift and want to kind of brighten up the colors and get out and wear more things?
No. In fact, but I do want to get out of this all black thing that has become me. You know, I wear black, mostly black, every day, almost every day. So I've been literally conscious, you know, putting it in the front, not the back, but the front of my mind. When I get up to get dressed in the morning, I need color on. I feel better wearing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm clumsy and I, you know, my pocket on my linen dress would get caught on something and then that's it, you know? So I'm trying to be cautious, but just get it done, Gerilyn. You know, if we all walked around in bright colors, it might make a difference. But I'm walking around in black. I am.
Come back to L.A. because it's not just me. First of all, those bright neons, you know, that we saw in the 80s and 90s are all back.
Yeah, all back. All back. You know, they tried to bring back bell bottoms, and it didn't work out so well. It
didn't work out too well, but neon green, neon orange is all in season right now. But I just couldn't take it. I like you said, you feel better when you wear color. I just feel brand new. I'm out of the house. I feel different. And I want to, you know, my clothing to represent who I really am and how I feel. And I've just had a whole closet of, you know, nice stuff, but grays and blues and black. And I was like, no, I used to have a bunch of colors I used to wear. And, you know, you start working in business and your job becomes your life. And then the pandemic, and before you know it, that's that. But also a celebration of life. You know, it's not just about looking good. No, it's I'm so happy to be alive. And I want what I wear, how I represent on the exterior to match that celebration, because we all know how challenging 2020 was, and who knows what's coming up next. So while things feel good, I want to be bright.
Well, one of the things they're considering coming out with is that President Biden, is really considering canceling student loan debt. How do you feel about that? I'm over the moon about it, especially with you and your sister.
I'm sorry, I had to finish doing a little praise dance there. Every time.
Right. Did you do it? Won't he will?
Won't he do it? He's thinking about it. Like, he might do this thing, and it might cost way too much money, and the country can't really afford all that, but he's thinking about it. I'm just like, do it. Come on. Do it, Biden. Do it. Hit the button. Make it happen. I mean, for my generation, it would change so many of our lives. Obviously, there
are people
who don't have student loans or who are able to pay them off earlier. But, you know, the vast majority of college-educated individuals of my generation have some amount of student loan debt left over.
Right.
And it's crippled us. All the data and science has proven how it has crippled our generation. And they blame us for not buying diamonds, not having weddings, and not buying this or that, our homes or cars. And we're like, yeah, because we have student loans. So even though that is a fiscally challenging issue, and how to pay for that is a whole mm-hmm. different topic. Because they're talking trillions upon trillions of dollars to wipe it out in its entirety. Even $10,000 per person who has student loans is still going to cost trillions of dollars. And we've seen recently what it takes to spend that kind of money. So that's a deeper conversation, but, you know, yeah, I'm like, do it, man.
Yo, seriously, yeah. You know, this article came out on April 4th, and it's USA Today. And it says, will Biden cancel student loan debt? As college costs spiral, here's what he's considering. So President Joe Biden directed his education secretary to explore his authority to cancel student debt by executive order. And we've been hearing about this for a while, but is he going to do it? One day in office, it says in this article, President Joe Biden signed an executive order extending a pause student federal loan payments enacted by the previous administration as part of COVID-19 relief. Liberal activists and lawmakers urged the president to go further and cancel student loan debt, but he has said firmly that he does not believe he has the authority to do so by the executive order. Here's the thing for me, Michael. We have so many billionaires in this country, right? I'm not saying we have more than another, because I know Europe has a lot, but we have a lot of billionaires in this country. And I don't understand why those that have it can at least help the students that actually accomplish their degrees. They actually graduated and help them with their debt. Because this, like you said, it's crippling, right?
Well, normally I would agree with you there. But again, we're talking multiple trillions of dollars. Student loan debt is the largest sector of private debt in America. More than car loans. It's just student loans. It is such an enormous amount of money. So even with you know, huge amounts of billionaires or even the two richest people in the world being in this country, that still doesn't hold a candle to how much money it would take to actually wipe this off, wipe this out. On top of that, I signed those papers. You know, parents and students across the country signed those papers. And by the time I was in college, they were counselors who walked you through to make sure you understood the responsibility. So, yeah, we signed up thinking, okay, we're going to take on this enormous amount of debt and we're going to work hard and get jobs. And then with those jobs and promotions and all the things that we thought would exist, we will then pay this off. The economy crashed twice over and none of those jobs or paths exist anymore. And our promotion and our earning potential in those career paths was crippled alongside of it. So it isn't just the amount of money that is crippling. It's the inability to pay it off because those payment pathways, if you will, no longer exist in the numbers they used to. So that's a layered issue in and of itself, but I don't necessarily think it's any sort of group of private citizens' responsibility to just bail us all out because we have student loans. But that so many of those student loans are owned by the government, I think, creates a special window where it says, okay, you're holding this, you know, you printed money to give us the money, so maybe there's a chance to just say, you know, wipe this out. I think he already canceled some loans for those individuals that had private loans from for-profit institutions. That's a small group that he was going to do already, and this is a conversation about the larger batch. So we'll see what he decides to do and economically how feasible it actually is to pull this off.
Well, you talked about the trillions of dollars. I just want to be clear that when the former administration, before they left office, early on, in fact, they gave the super rich just a whole lot of money in cutting their taxes. So when you talk about trillions of dollars, that was trillions of dollars too. So here we are, you know, looking at these students who can't get the job to pay them what they're worth, like it did for my generation, right? Can't pay off the debt. And it's very frustrating for all of you. At least cut back the debt. I think your sister said to me, you know, Mom, I don't know if I'm asking them to do the whole thing, but I just think if all of us could get $50,000 off the bill, how much that would help.
Again, I agree in principle, but I do think it's just such an enormous amount of money. And it's hard to compare that to, oh, you know, the 1% have gained so much money or the Trump tax cuts and how much that was. That's an interesting point, and I think we could definitely dig into that. But it just doesn't feel like it's apples to apples because of what these loans are, who owns them, and how long they've been there. And it's interesting because we're kind of seeing a test run of maybe what the future would look like, because student loan payments, as you mentioned earlier, have been paused since the first package came out during the pandemic. So, you know, people going out and buying, whether it's sweatpants or Gucci sweatpants, some of that is being encouraged because we're not making those payments. So it's interesting. This is kind of that test run where people have, you know, again, consumer confidence being really high, in part because we're all saving hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month that is not being paid to student loans, nor the interest on those loans right now.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. I can't imagine if I were, you know, someone, a leader, like a president of a country. I mean, would we want the young people who are the future to suffer? I'm not asking you to make them rich. I'm simply asking them to forgive at least some of their debt, because these schools have just charged a ton of money. But you know what? I'm going to let it go, Michael, because you need to sleep tonight and I need to sleep tonight. So we have to get that out of our head for a moment, okay, and just deal with it. But we have to take a break. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 10:54 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this night tonight on the Mom and Michael Hour, I must say that no matter how tired I feel right now, I am still so excited for Easter, so excited for this amazing holiday. I have not been to church in a long time when it comes to Easter or what they call Resurrection Sunday. I'm just wondering, Michael, did you guys do any special tradition for this day today, even though you weren't in service?
You know, I wasn't in service this morning, but we did go for a ride and we went over to Joey's old neighborhood in Santa Monica, California. and drove around over there and then drove to the beach. Oh, actually, we went to go eat at a deli and had some amazing pancakes and just enjoyed our time and then drove to the ocean. And you know how much I love the ocean. You love it, too. And just it was stunning out there today. The visibility must have been 20 miles. You could see the curvature.
Oh,
of the earth.
Wow.
It was crystal clear. The sailboats were out. The beaches were packed. I mean, packed more than 15 people, right?
Yeah, that would be great. Give us clarity, please.
Yeah, it was beautiful today. So we just enjoyed the city, how beautiful it was, and just kind of were thankful that we were alive to see it. So that was our Easter Sunday.
Yeah, how about that? I had a beautiful Easter Sunday as well. I didn't get a chance to call my friend Marianne Moore, my sister friend. I didn't get to call Patty Peterson. But if you guys are listening, happy Easter, happy beautiful day, happy Resurrection Sunday, and I love you both so much. It just is really quite remarkable how the time is flying. I mean, it is flying, Michael. I'm almost done with my first year of seminary. I just can't believe it.
Which is amazing. Oh, and I forgot to add, we did that whole beautiful drive I mentioned while I was blasting gospel music on the radio all day. So,
yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
it was church in the car while we were seeing the ocean and everything else.
Hey, that works. That works, man. I saw a service on the beach in Hawaii one time, and it was just a few people, maybe 12, you know, and a pastor, standing on his surfing board playing a guitar, acoustic guitar.
Wow. But wait, if it's 12 people, is that a crowd?
Oh, my God.
I mean, storytelling school. I just want to make sure that we're...
Are you in storytelling school? That's brilliant, Michael. Bravo, son. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get some sleep tonight. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us tonight when you gave your comments. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with Still Talking and the Mom and Michael Hour. Jonathan, thank you so much. Jimmy Erickson, producer, thank you so much.
Happy Chocolate Blessing Bunny Day.
Chocolate Bunny Day. I better go get it. Good night, everyone.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.